Look here in the book of Revelation, and we come almost to the close of this 21st chapter. I think we'll look at one other thought here next week. And I had intended on being gone this coming weekend, but tonight's temperature where I was hoping to be is going to be 23 degrees. Tomorrow's high is 38. Today it was 39 with a 22-mile-an-hour wind, which made the wind chill factor 31, and 100% chance of snow today, and I'm just too old for that. I'll bask here in this liquid sunshine. So I call my brother, let's detain our trip again. Revelation chapter 21, and I would like to read verse 23 and spend some time tonight on the light of the city. The light of the city. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Now, I just need to remind myself, when I'm reading about this city, I'm reading about the church. This is just another way of saying the body of Christ. It's another way of saying the church of the living God. It is a city, but it isn't a symbol city. It is a special city. It is a city of God. It is a city created by God. It is a city directed by God. He is the mayor. He has all oversight over this city. And this city has no need, as it says, no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, this commentary on what the city has, from a negative standpoint, does not have the sun or moon, but from a positive standpoint, has the light of God, has the glory of God, has, as it says there, the Lamb is the light thereof, explains a lot about the spiritual nature of this body. It does not depend on physical things. This city, the oil in the lamps, is not from the flesh. It is not provided in the acts of people. The light of this city is provided by God. It always has been. It always will be. The light the first believer had on the face of the earth was not the light that he gathered in himself, but it was the light God gave to him as he gave him Christ. And that's the spiritual truth about this light that this city, the church, has. It has never been physical light. It has always been the gift of spiritual light. Some in this city have more light than others. That's not the issue. And the people who have more light have never looked down upon the people who have not seen all the light. And the people who have not seen all do not feel jealous of those who have seen more, because they understand that this light, even as any aspect about God, is sovereignly given. We glean from those who have been given more light and rejoice in that. We glean from those who centuries ago were privileged to sit all day long and study the Word of God, and God gave them light, and we enjoy and appreciate that. We don't feel jealous about what God gave to them because we get to glean from it. Nor do we find that they ever looked down their noses and made fun of those who didn't see what they saw. Again, all of this is sovereignly given. He opens eyes sovereignly, and we get everything. We're just learning to see more of it as we look through a glass darkly. Now, the sun and the moon are physical light. The presence of Christ is the spiritual light that we need. Now, this principle, we are examples of these principles. I have heard you say on a sunny day, I feel brighter today. It feels better today. And on a cloudy day, you know, I just feel just a little bit down. Now, if we lived where it was 24/7, 365 days a year, cloudy, we probably would not have the disposition that we might have. We live on this principle. Light is important. We live on this principle. When I woke up this morning and heard that rain, oh, I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't planning for this. I was hoping against this. But it was there. And the day before, when I woke up at 4:30, it was light, beautiful. Well, there is one thing about having some dampness out. The kids are willing to stay closer to the school, and they're not near as rambunctious when it is cloudy. So there are positive things about that. But we are examples of this principle. We notice that there's a difference in our disposition when it shines, when the sun shines, and when it doesn't shine. And this is typical in the church. There's never a cloudy day. The songwriter put it, a cloudless day. Now, we may have cloudy days, but not in this spiritual relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is light ever. For time and for eternity, the light is never shut down. We have the privilege of waking up in the night seasons to the light. We have the privilege of walking in the day seasons in the light. It is never turned down. We always have the same privilege to come before our Lord at any time, 24 hours a day, and still enjoy the same light that God has promised to His church. Would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1? This light is the difference between Christ and religion. If a body doesn't have light and is trying to make light for itself, it is going to be very active, but non-productive. That's religion. There's going to be an activity because there's just no light there, and we're going to try to create it. I have an opinion about the old revival meetings. Well, I saw people go to the old-time revival meetings and go for 2 weeks, and at the end of 2 weeks, be no better off spiritually than they were when they went. And they claimed to be believers. They just couldn't manifest the light. They couldn't get to the light. And Marvin Stoniker and I were visiting, and he said, people reading through the Bible, that's great, but he'd rather have a person read one verse of Scripture with understanding than 10,000 without understanding a word about it. That's the quality of the light. Have one verse of Scripture with some understanding, some light about it. And that's just a wonderful thing to think about. One verse of Scripture that God has revealed that we have some understanding about is better than having read the whole thing and say, well, that's it for this year. I'll start again in January. Well, John chapter 1, verse 9, we have these words about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to remember, I want to remember, I want to bring to our attention again that this book was not written to lost people. This book was written to the church. And if we keep that in mind, some of the verses that we run into are going to be so easy to be understood. Here, just logically understood, whether we understand them or not. But John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, that was the true light. The Lord Jesus. John was not the true light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, verse 8. That was the true light that lighteth. Now, this is an important verse. This light lighteth, and he lighteth every one of his. Now, we have here, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. we find as we read through the scriptures that this is not, Christ does not lighten everybody that is born of Adam with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we have to go back and say, who's this written to? Everyone that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, God will in Christ Jesus give them light. And Jesus Christ is the light that enlightens people. It's the light is turned on. That means having an understanding about Christ and redemption and grace and God's position and place in things, that he rules over all. That takes a lot of light. God has had to turn on a lot of light for natural man to comprehend those five things. The grace of God, the redemptive work of Christ, the position that God holds, the righteousness of Christ, the blood, shed blood, atonement. My goodness, people have studied the Bible for years and years and years and have never come to any conclusion about that. And God can reveal that to his people, and they have some understanding about God's redemptive work and who did it and how it's being accomplished, and walk away and say, thank you, God. Without that light you gave me, I would have never come to these conclusions. I would have continued to try to produce my own light, and I was working my fool head off to do it. And there was no more peace about it when I was finished than when I started this light of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1. Would you turn there with me? As we think about this light, and the light of the city is God, his glory of God, and the glory of God is Christ. He is the light of this city. He was the light in the days of Abel. He was the light during the days of Moses, David, down through the ages, through the dark ages, through the Reformation period. Tim and I got into a discussion the other day about the Reformation period, and there were people here that believed the gospel before the reformers came around. They just come to a conclusion that some people had already had already. God was dealing with people and giving them the light before the Reformation. And some of those guys never got past very far. They were dealing with these people pretty harshly that had the light already. They already understood that salvation was by grace and not by works. They already understood that the accepted church had gone haywire. They already understood those things. And here come along a group of people. God, thank God, God opened their eyes. But God had light here in this world in every generation. And they were willing to pay with their lives because they had the light. For no other reason. They weren't self-sacrificers. They had light. God had given them the light. This light of Christ, the glory of God, is the person Christ Jesus. Now here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we read these words about this light that God gives to his people, gives to the church. It is absolutely essential that this be there. And when it is there, it cannot be taken away. It is impossible for those who are once enlightened to lose the light. They would have to, and Paul is just using this as an example, as a figure of speech. They would have to crucify Christ afresh. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You've either got the light, or you are working for the light, trying to get the light, and fell away. But those who have the light will never fall away. There's just an attraction about it that God creates in the hearts of people that prevents them from ever losing their anchor. The Lord. Ephesians 1:18, scriptures share this. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. There's the light. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. We were in darkness. God came along through the gospel and enlightened us. That's why he says, the sun and the moon are not the light of the church. Physical light is not the light of the church. Physical research is not the light of the church. Physical doings is not the light of the church. It's done. That's the light of the church. It's Christ. He is the light of the church. He is what causes people to enjoy their position. And they don't look down their nose if they have a little more than others, and they don't feel jealous if they don't have as much. This is the body of Christ, and it works in unison. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have been, God's church has been given some understanding about some things. God's people understand. Now, just brought to my attention day before yesterday, as I looked, the guy in California has done it again. He's made another prediction. We're just a few months off this time, October 21st. Well, I wonder if he's going to go hide in his motel again. The church understands it is not necessary to know the day nor the hour. That's some light we've been given. We just don't need to know. If Christ be our center, if Christ be our theme, if Christ be our hope, if Christ be our message, if Christ be our gospel, then we don't need those things. We don't have to have those as attractions. Christ is the light, and he enlightens his people, and they have some understanding about them. They will trust God, and when he says, you don't need to know something, you know what? Okay. Daniel was told that. God told him, sum it up. You're not going to write about it. John was told that. Paul was told that. You know what? He didn't write about it. He didn't say, well, I'm going to put it right over here on the side and I'm going to try to get away with it. No, I wasn't to write about it. John wasn't to write about it. Daniel wasn't to write about it. Paul wasn't to write about it. And guess what? When God said it not to write about it, that's all it took. And that's the truth about this. The light. God's people are drawn to the light. Christ is the light. God is, the glory of God is Jesus Christ. And there's no need for physical light. We don't have to have lessons in ethics taught by some professor or hermeneutics. There we go. Mike and Marilyn and Nancy and I spent two and a half hours wasting our time. Now I'd walk out on hermeneutics. Now I can't even remember what that means. It made such an impression. The putting together of a message or something like that. What's important? Don't tell me what's important in a message. Give me what's important in a message. That's the important. Give me Christ, lest I die. He's the light. I need the light. He is the light of the world. He lightens his people. And here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We're dead in trespasses and sin. The light went out in Adam. Thank God he comes and enlightens us. He's the only one that has the ability of putting light on the candle. No one else can do it. He must do it. This is an act that God alone can do. Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, as we look at this light, and it's always been this way. When the church, and I think maybe that's some of the issues there in Corinthians. It was in Galatians, the church of Galatia. They're trying to get the light another way. Trying to stir the church of Laodicea. Well, we know there's light. We can manufacture it. We can get it pumped up. We can produce it. We can get plants out there in the congregation. And when we preach some dead dog story and get tears flowing, we can get those people to move. That's nothing more than a hypocrisy trying to create light. It's impossible to do. You can get the results of it. It's not lasting. It's short-lasting, not long-lasting. But the light of God is eternal. Once created, it will never go out. It gets brighter the more we approach the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. After you were enlightened, it tells us here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But call to remember the former days in which after ye were enlightened, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. After, there's a place. Now, I don't know when God does this. It's not my business to know. I'm not interested in knowing. I just know that it's going to come after God's people hear the gospel. There is an enlightenment that God alone can give, and he will enlighten every one of his elect, and it will be a light that will guide them through this life and ready to enter that life. That light is Christ. Christ is the glory of God. He is the leader. He is the one that leads his people. He is the good shepherd. He leads his flock. He is the light to go out into the hinterlands. He is the light in this world. He's the light for the people of God. And he opens up his light through the scriptures. We'll not learn about Christ outside of the scriptures. We can talk about him, but it better be scriptural based. Because that's the only place we'll learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nature will not teach us about Christ. Now, it'll point us to God, but that's not enough. The devils believe there's a God, but that's not enough. All right? Here it says there in verse 32, call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. And that's the same word. These words that are verses that I've read are the same word for the glory of God will lighten. It's an illumination. And God's glory is the illumination of the city. And everybody gets to enjoy the same light. Guess what? There's not red light and blue light and green light and pink light and all the lights. People are not looking at different colored lights. They're looking at the same light with the same truth. The same word, the same glory. Everybody from every side gets to see the same person, Christ Jesus, the glory of God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, we have this thought about to know God, what it is, the enlightenment, to know God. God revealing himself, Christ revealing himself to his people. It's the light of the church. It's the light of the city. Ever has been, ever will be. There will be no other light. It's not a creed. It's a Christ. It is the Christ of God. It's not memorizing. It is Christ is the light. We are enlightened by him. And thank God he reveals his word, opens his word up. Bitty it may be. Small it may be. But that's much better than never seeing a thing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. That's that light. Given us an understanding. We sit down with God's people wherever they're from. We sit down with them and the understanding is he is the Savior. And he saves without our works. And we start comparing notes, and everybody that has this says, yes, that's right. We have the same story. We have the same view. We have the same Christ. It doesn't matter. I would venture to say, if I went down and visited with Lance Heller and he was interpreting for me, those people would say the same thing about Christ if they've seen him. I could guarantee it. He is the only Savior. I was saved without my works. I'll be kept without my works. I will see God alone by Jesus Christ and him alone. And I am riding along on his coattails. That's what the church agrees on. Why? He's the light. We don't depend on physical things. We don't. I used to have several bars here, years. That, you know, you look back, that didn't mean a thing. I didn't know anything. I'd listened to all those lessons, or maybe thought I did. Didn't mean a thing. Got my pen, got my ear bars. You can get them down there. Lots of them. Still, not know a thing. That's not the light. The light is Christ. Him revealed. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And when that takes place, that light is not put out. That's the light we'll go into glory with. Jesus Christ as our Savior. Here in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. God gives the light. This is about the true God, and this is about eternal life, and it's found in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder He says, there's only one name under heaven, given among men. There's only one door. There's only one way. It is to the light. It is to the light. It is to the light. And He enlightens, gives the light. And He does it sovereignly. And even among the church, He does it sovereignly. He gives the light, the understanding about God. Back up just a moment there in Colossians, just a little bit. In Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. The city had no need of the sun. Boy, keep it out there. Don't let it through the door. We don't want the physical. We don't want the physical. We don't want the moon. We don't want the sun. We don't want physical things involved. We want spiritual things. Give me Christ, lest I die. Don't give me programs. Give me Christ. Don't talk about physical things. Talk about spiritual things. Give me Christ. Keep the rest out. That's our whole goal. Keep the sun and the moon out. Keep the physical out. Keep Christ in. Don't get involved in the issues of this world. Keep Christ. He's the light. Those things, they're just a smoldering, stinking thing. They have no light in them. All right? Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet in the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at the implications of having the light. Forgiveness of sins, redemption through His blood, translated out of the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, the implications God has for all those He reveals the light to, and they're glorious, gracious, spiritual blessings. It really would be a dismal place not to have light. In fact, there would be no life if there was no light. That's just common. Throw a big wash tub over a part of your lawn. Put a piece of black plastic over it. Now, sometimes that's what we want to do, kill that stuff. No light, no life. Life is dependent upon the light. And our spiritual well-being, the church's spiritual well-being, is dependent upon the light of God. And there will be no light inside if He has not put it there. We can't grow it. We can't produce it. Everyone in the city knows the one person who is the light. God in Christ will be the everlasting fountain of knowledge and joy to the saints. A couple verses left. Join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We don't need the physical. We need the spiritual. We need Christ. That's why The food is Christ. The scriptures are Christ. We need him. It's the diet the church needs. When the church has this diet, it's like manna. Now, only the people who don't know will complain about the manna. Only the mixed multitude complained. We don't like it. We want the melons and the leeks and the flesh pots of Egypt. But that was the perfect meal. It provided everything those people needed. And only those who don't like it will complain. And those who know this is my life will say, thank you. Thank you for dropping it in my path. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. This light, this gracious light of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And we love that word commanded. He is absolutely sovereign over it. And if he hadn't have been, we'd have never succumbed to it. We'd have never seen it. It had never come our way. Well, I just love being outside and having your back turned and someone looking this way. Did you see that lightning? No, I missed it. Well, that's the way it is if we're not pointed the right direction. If he's not in charge of the light, we'll just never see it. It's always behind us. Oh, I missed that. It was really pretty. You should have seen it. Well, thank God he turns us around and says, I saw him. And he's beautiful. In fact, he's altogether lovely. Every aspect, every characteristic, every purpose of God is lovely in Christ. Verse 6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Shined in our hearts. Hasn't done much for our flesh. The only thing God does for our flesh is bind it. Keep it under a little control for us. But that inside, that part that was darkened in Adam, has been made to have light. He commanded it. And then finally, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We think about there's no need of the sun or the moon. The glory of God is the light, and the Lord Jesus is the light in the city. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a royal priesthood. Excuse me. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. No need of the physical sun or moon. No need of physical things for the church. They will not feed it. The church is not fed with physical things. Now our bodies are, and I'm not going to put down, and we're going to continue to have potluck dinners. But the spiritual food is what feeds us. We can go away and says, I was fed. God fed me today. And go away better than we came instead of going away worse than we came. The spiritual food, the light. And that's what God does for his people. And he lightens every person that he intends to lighten. And they will have this view about God. They'll have the view about Christ. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We have a view of God now that we never had, except by rote memory of some verse of Scripture. Oh, I know God is light. Well, I didn't know it was light like it is light. All right, we'll stop there.